Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Y'all, we are back for part two. This is Reality Gays with Watch What Crappens!
Gay Crappens with Gay Ronnie and Ben Crappens. From Watch What Crappens! Hello,
yes,
everybody.
Holiday cheer.
I'm Matt Marr, a.k.a. Maddie, and the other one of the queens talking of the queen panel is Jake, a.k.a.
Hello, everybody.
Or Poodle, as I often call him, and it confuses older people. They go,
well, I'm confused just sometimes.
Like an influencer.
Yes. Y'all, if you're listening to the second half, you go, oh, wait a minute. I haven't watched the movie. What did you talk about before? Just watch the first 3 minutes and you're caught up.
Yeah. Spend a lot of time on the credits.
Pretty easy to catch up on this one, okay? also, we've talked about a lot, so just go back and listen to it. I can't recap the whole thing,
but it's very important information.
It's called Falling for Christmas on Netflix, and we've got a lot of bad gayness.
Just to recap, what's happened in the movie so far.
Lindsay Lohan
has woken up, and she's gone downstairs. Okay.
Yes. And we meet Beauregard Belmont.
It is weird that he's named Beauregard and he's not Southern.
I expect a full on like Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel Sanders white suit.
Hello, honey. Yeah. It's me, your daddy. Yeah, out of this hotel.
Charles Durning.
Beauregard Belmont. Yeah.
Welcome to this hotel. It used to be a plantation. You know,
What are those? Literally, that chicken from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, Foghorn, you know?
Leghorn.
We got lots of kind of people working here these days.
I say, Foghorn Leghorn.
A lot of people don't know closet homosexual Foghorn Leghorn.
Was that
a closet he was in?
Yeah, exactly.
He's played by Jack Wagner.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The problem with this is the actor they had on tap was Jack Wagner. And they're like, Jack, could you give us some Southern old man? And he's like, no, I'm fucking Jack Wagner.
That's not what
I do. Guess showing up? Jack Wagner. Actually, I want the name of this. I want the name of this character named Jack. So we're going to need to change that. Could we? Jack Belmont. Like, no, sir.
What was his nickname?
This entire thing should have been a musical. It could have been even a jukebox musical. So that way Jack Wagner could have sung his one hit wonder. All I need is to find my daughter. Her name is Sierra.
What? I didn't know he had a one hit wonder.
That's his song. All I Need?
All I Need. That's Jack Wagner.
That is? Wagner.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Who else has a one-hit wonder? This is more of a reference to what Ron and I were talking about earlier today. Vicki Lawrence. She has a one-hit wonder also.
The Nice Lights went out in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Cool. I want to know why you were talking about Vicki Lawrence, but that'll probably
because we're covering Winter House. Why wouldn't we be talking about Mama's Family?
Because we're talking about
Mama's Family is brought up on our show
a lot.
Weekly. I often refer to the off-the-shoulder dresses that women wear as Naomi dresses.
Yes, the Naomi.
I literally said that today.
Yes.
The Naomi dress. I said the off-the-shoulder.
Yes.
Also, by the way, People don't realize this as another one-hit wonder. The song Faith, most people think that's George Michael. It's actually Mr. Belvedere. So, like, there's a lot of, yeah.
Really?
You've got to have faith, faith.
Wesley, what are you doing?
Okay, so.
Okay, let's do this.
We meet Jack Wagner, and then we meet, finally, Cord Overstreet with the frosted tips. And the, yeah. And the, I need 30 pounds on him. I'm just saying yes. That again. Every time he pops up, I want 30 pounds on him.
Fat ready.
I think he would do better. He would do better.
By the way, I have to say something real quick about Jack Wagner. I just want to congratulate him on his transition into Don Johnson. I think he's doing a great job so far.
He stopped.
He stopped. I don't think he did extra work. He did a certain amount of work and is letting that work just rest.
It's like when you're making a pudding and you're covering it so it'll chill, but you mm-hmm. don't tightly cover it. You loosely cover it. You know, it's like how the Saran wrap lays, like it's not tight.
Yeah.
But it still looks.
Now I want pudding.
Or the skin of a roast chicken after it sat out long enough.
Yes.
I feel like it's pliable.
I really feel like his features are in a battle between whether they want to be Kevin Sorbo or Don Johnson. And he's just like sort of landing in this middle area. And he's like, I'm just going to be me. That's what
you
I
know
am.
What that is exactly yeah. Because he looks like Jack Wagner and he doesn't look like Jack Wagner.
I think he looks like Martina Navratilova.
I was going to say like, he is 3 inches away from older lesbian.
Yeah, he really is.
We're getting there.
Yeah, he's
who
getting
is
there.
That lady who was on the West Wing?
Well. We just,
Jerry Jones. Or no.
No, the press secretary.
He kind of looks like Jerry Jones.
Allison Janney?
Sort of Allison Janney. On, not Allison Janney, but he could look like Allison Janney, too. She's the one. I'll look her up. I'll look.
You know, Betty White.
Men who have had work done who look like Jerry Jones. I think that's a whole segment.
Jerry Jones is my goal, but I'm gonna end up Kathy Bateman, and I know, or Kathy Bates, and I know it. I know, and I, you know, I'm happy. I love her. And
we should all be so lucky.
Janelle Maloney. I feel like he's on a Janelle Maloney.
Janelle Maloney always looked confused in every single scene she was in.
Wouldn't you
good
be
for her?
That's a confusing shot. So she probably you have to be very smart to be on.
Oh,
that show.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, yeah. I had to look her up.
Oh, I had to look her up too. I forgot. Well, it was I would that be girl. Confused.
Well, she's probably sick of people being like, "Oh, that I girl. Loved you in that movie, Stepmom." It's like, no, that was Jenna Malone.
Wasn't
so.
Me.
That's why she just looks so unfulfilled all the time.
Yes,
confusing her.
So the reason okay, so we're talking about these characters is because Cord Bama. Overstreet, his real name is Jake, but we're just going to call him Cord. Otherwise, it's going to get confusing.
It's going to get confusing, yeah.
And so
we have a Jake.
Yeah.
Every hot guy in movies are called Jake. That's just what. That's
also
like,
in real life, I have to say, I haven't met an ugly Jake.
Yeah. We do pretty well. I was one of the earlier people. I don't look like a Jake because Jakes are usually strapping.
Well, let's face it. You've strapped plenty.
she's had a strap on. Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's many. What I'm saying. I'm sure you're no stranger to strapping, sir.
I've been strapped several times. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going for a week.
I want one of these holiday movies to push the limits and be like, oh, here comes a local with a little 5 o'clock shadow and a nice shearling jacket, and his name is Fritz. And like, Fritz?
No, it's always Jake, Ben,
Rob.
Matt.
Oh,
yes, Chip. They're like, this is for the simple people. We only need one syllable in the name. Keep it simple. There's never going to be a Rondel.
No, 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 no Mortimer. No.
No.
So he's like, Mr. Belmont, I have frosted hair. Glad I caught you. I'm Jake Russell. I own. And then Jack Wagner's like, the North Star Lodge. Why do you keep calling it? Your place North is Star. Called the North Star Lodge. What the fuck? You're not going to be successful. That's where all Jesus and the wise men and all those people followed the North Star to find Jesus. Now, I get that that's a very Christmassy name.
I just got
hotel.
That reference, the North Star.
Yes,
I just
you
got
follow
it.
all these fucking poor people follow a star and they get to a hotel where they expect free rooms. I was thinking
North Pole, but you're right, North Star.
How are you expecting people to pay for a room called the North Star Hotel? Only poor people go there expecting for a free room from Jesus.
What if it's all a religious allegory?
I thought North Star was that service you got for your car, so you knew where it was.
I think that's OnStar.
OnStar.
You got to be really Christian for that to work.
Did anybody catch the joke that he made that definitely Jeff Bonnet or a PA put in? He's like, it looks like SpaceX in here. That's to tell us that it's 2022.
Yeah, I noticed that. It actually made me mad.
We wouldn't know what time we were in.
Last time I checked, there was no spaceship being built in this tiny hotel lobby that's supposed to be luxurious.
And girls in bikinis and Santa hats.
And also, in case you couldn't tell, this was a movie written by an older person. He said, Beauregard says, "Oh, my secretary mentioned that you called." Secretary?
Hello there, Beauregard Belmont's office.
It's Naomi.
Charlene speaking. Can I please take a message?
He's hey, like, listen.
Mr. Jake from Megastar's calling again. You want me to say something to him?
Tell him I'm busy and I'm sick of taking his calls.
Okay.
Atta girl.
You don't pay me enough to do this job.
This show was half 80s, half not. It just needed to lean into that.
And my secretary said you called 15 times. I said, if he calls one more time, disconnect the MCI.
By the way, Cheryl, did you get that scarf from my wife?
Get it, Mr.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr.
MCI. Boy, was it MCI or maybe it was AT&T? I'm so gay that I remember, I think it was AT&T. Was it Whitney Houston that did the commercial for AT&T?
Didn't we almost have a call?
It was like, I know. Well done. It was Whitney Houston.
I want to talk to somebody.
I believe co-eating is the future.
But no, it was called True Voice. Remember, it was all that you could hear. Yes, you could hear crystal clear. You could hear that's what they were saying. And I'm so gay that I called the AT&T phone line and asked them, how do I get a recording of Whitney Houston singing that theme song?
Wow.
Well, listen, MCI has huge gay cred because they actually got name checked in a Destiny Child song. Remember in Bugaboo? It's like, I'm going to call MCI to get my buzzer disconnected.
Oh, they did. They did. They did.
Wow, this is a pack of gays.
All songs about phones and long distance services, they just don't ring true like they used to. It's a shame.
I mean, Court Overstreet also has gay cred because he has Robin's haircut. So that's helpful.
It's true. I mean, we'll get to this later, but this movie does kind of work through what's a problem now in new movies is that a lot of 80s movies where you were, or even early 90s, you were stranded and couldn't talk to anyone. So they actually handled that somewhat believable in this, but kind of.
I want to address that. That's why I keep asking, is she famous? Because is this Summit View where she goes like Brigadoon? Like it just disappears down into the mist and no one has access to internet?
That's the thing that really bugged me too, because like the sheriff doesn't know who the daughter is of the town.
They know about
like
DNA swabs or...
Yeah, like no one had any clue. And then when they finally find her, they're like, of course we found your daughter. She's right here. Totally recognized her the whole time.
And there's no missing persons report filed.
Why don't they just like walk her around the town square until someone sees her? Like,
someone recognizes her.
There is a Reddit about the plot holes in this movie, and I just opened it and I went, no, because it was very lengthy. It was a very lengthy Reddit.
That's so pathetic that people would take their time to talk about this movie to that
that extent.
I mean, wow. Pathetic, guys. Pathetic.
So yeah, Court Overstreet's like, hey, invest in my little hotel because 70%, because I read on Glassdoor that 70% of blah, 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 and da-da-da, and who cares? You can tell these writers have no idea what's actually going on in commercial real estate.
I read on the FinRed.
Yeah, the FinRed.
I was on Willow.
And when I'm on Willow.
So they do but, that thing where they're like, well, we're men. So if we can race and you can beat me, then I'll talk to you. Wink, because I'm Jack Wack. They're, Mr. Belmont, could you stop winking at Cord? Cord is very uncomfortable with the
very.
Wink. You're going to take it, Cord. All right, let's do it again.
And so begins this movie's strenuous attempt to set up Cord's skiing abilities, which have no impact on the storyline whatsoever. There's no, ski contest. No one needs to be rescued on skis.
No.
No one needs to be chased down.
We see
down.
It one time.
No.
We do
he
get
just a, is a good skier.
We do, good skier. But what we get that made me laugh a lot, I actually rewound it and watched it twice to laugh at it. Again, they said, you know what? We're not going to do CGI. I'm going to put Jack Wagner in front of a green screen.
Oh,
of
the, that green
or,
screen.
Or just the film. Let's roll the film behind him like I learned in 1987. It'll look fine.
It's like, it looks the, it's so like the, janky. Footage, the footage of like car, the tree, the yes. same like thing.
If,
going
you,
by.
If you paused, you could actually see the conveyor belt that Jack Wagner was on with the skis underneath.
There is actually one scene in this movie where, like, clearly it was always snowing outside everyone's window. And so they have, like, a machine that spits up the snow. So then it floats down. And there was one scene where the machine, they didn't put it off camera. It was was below the window. So you saw snow going like flying upwards and falling softly in another window. And I was like, is no one even looking at their own set?
That's funny.
Did we skip the meat cute of the hot chocolate?
No. So we're actually okay, getting we're there. Down. So now they
we're
have this
about
race
70
down
seconds into the movie.
Yeah,
now.
They race okay. down the hill. They go to the hill, and then that's where he says, "Come to my hotel." We kind of skipped around.
Come
we,
to my
this
window.
Is when they're back in. Cord, they're in SpaceX Cord, now.
Yeah, because Cord lets SpaceX. Him win. So they're walking through. So now they're walking through SpaceX hotel, and Beauregard is going towards a locker to hang up his stuff. And I guess maybe he's a man of the people because he's putting his stuff up in a public locker. I'm like, dude, do you not own this hotel? What are you doing hanging up your
Ben, he rides the subway. He's just like us. He's just like us.
I like to be with the common people.
But why is that even in the script? You know what I mean? Like, and then they go to the locker room. Like, what? Who put that? Why do you need to go to the locker room?
It does feel strangely intimate.
And also it's a men's locker room, but you have a woman serving hot chocolate in a hot chocolate cart.
Yeah, obviously this wasn't written by a gay guy because I'm like the locker room girl who's in, I'm like looking around. Like,
I think it was like a hallway locker. I don't think it was like a locker room. It was like a just put your skis here. But it's still strange that Jack Wagner, who runs this place, does not have his own special, you know,
yes.
locker in behind a closed door.
He's Big Daddy.
So, yeah, he's like, this looks like SpaceX. And then Jack Wagner's like, yeah, well, we try and stay ahead of the curve here. We've got these things called ice makers.
No way!
Yeah, they make ice.
Remote controls we have.
Hold on, do you want some hot cocoa? Let me just fax my assistant a request. So, lady comes in, Melanie Griffith comes in with a cocoa cart. And...
Hey, there, do you want a cocoa now?
It's all the same secretary.
So, yes, it's all just in different outfits.
In an 80s movie, it would.
Hey, there, so Mr. They, B.
This is Rachel Dratch. So they give, he's like, okay, well, guess what? I'm not going to invest in your property, even though your pitch is that people are going to learn at your shitty property and then come to my property to spend more money to ski better. So he's like, listen. Have a hot cocoa on me. And in a movie like this, hot cocoa is essentially a Chekhov's gun, right?
It is.
Hot cocoa,
yes.
There's a meat cute around the corner.
There will be, yeah.
But the pitch was funny because he's like, okay, here's my pitch. This place is amazing. It's for rich people, but poor people like to ski, sir, too, sir. You don't say that to a rich person. Rich people do not want to see poor people skiing.
That's true. That's very true.
That's people not a like good pitch.
Upward skiing mobility. If he's saying, don't worry, the poor people from, you know, the Inland Empire of California are going to come here and they're going to learn how to ski. And then they're going to bring their poor craven asses to your resort. Don't you want that?
Exactly. It's like, don't you want to look out there with the upward snow flying and see poor people coming down right next to the rich people?
No, sir.
He's like, we can build a Target here, sir.
It is definitely written like a socialist slant. Like telling everyone that they like the rich, they're like these are just fat cats. They don't know anything. Right.
Yeah, right. So he's like, not everyone in the world can afford class. Studies show 70% of skiers learn at small resorts.
What studies?
What's that? Thank you.
I love that study.
Who would study that?
We still don't know how to cure, like, you know, runny noses. Okay.
No.
I'm going to figure out poor people skiing.
Do you know where I, the first place I went skiing, it was a place in Vermont called Suicide Six. Now, why are we calling a mountain that? That is just that
Suicide Six?
Yeah.
Well, wow. We're going to get to that later.
Second place was Killington. The second place was Killington. Vermont has a real dark side.
Killington.
So he does his pitch, and Jack Wagner's like, so I should invest in your launch to make sure that they have a chance to learn before they switch. You want them here?
Here.
You want them here.
Like,
right.
Should we just hand out metal cans at the top of the mountains that way they can go begging down the slopes?
We can just set up trailer houses just all on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Would I have like, to get beans? Because that's what the poor eat, right? Beans?
Yeah. Well,
we're going to have big metal trash cans with fires coming out of them. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Yeah. We have a strict no strings on pocket flower policies.
We've got no harmonica and belongings kept in a handkerchief tied to a stick rule here, sir.
Yeah.
And no rail riders.
We're not sure these lockers can accommodate bindles.
So it's like, sorry, but I've got my own investors. Thanks for the coffee, toots. Gotta run. Oh, and pretty classy out there. Let me win. I know you did that, Frosted Tips. You made your hair
Jack,
look as
can you stop
stupid
winking
as possible.
I can't stop winking, Jack. Jack,
listen, actually, I think I'm having a stroke. Can I actually get some help over here?
That was such a strange moment of characterization for the father. He's the most complex character in the whole thing.
Oh, Beauregard
is just going back to his office. He's like, a slope for poor people. He starts sketching out skis on a cardboard box.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like, Fruit Loops. Now there's something that can go on feet.
So now Lindsay Lohan emerges from this, because we don't know her name yet, by the way. So no. She emerges from the elevator dressed like a poinsettia, which is a holiday.
Yes.
So it makes sense.
I will say, I gay gassed when she came out, and they did a slow walk like on Selling Sunset that I enjoyed. They even played the Boss Bitch music, but it was Christmassy.
This was
like,
the
it's
most.
It's Boss Christmas. It's Boss Christmas. It's Christmas. Christmas. I'm a Boss.
I'm a Boss Bitch. Christmas Bitch. Boss
Jingle
Bitch.
Jingle Boss. Jingle Boss. That's it. Yeah. I'm a jingle. Jingle Boss.
Check the holes. Check the holes and check them with some bitches.
Go into the club. Say you bye. Go in the Bentley. Christmas.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Boss Bitch.
Pulling my sleigh up to the club like I'm a boss bitch. I don't take the chimney. I walk through the door.
I walk through the door. I don't take the chimney.
On the 12th day of boss bitch, my true love gave to me. Boss bitch on a partridge pear tree.
I wish you a merry boss bitch. I wish you a merry silent night, boss bitch night.
Oh. Partridge in a pear tree. Bonk.
Oh.
I enjoyed it, and if I got to play Terry, I would be able to do it as well, but whatever. I'm not bitter. Not bitter.
So she's on the phone, and she is self-absorbed right now because she's rich, and rich people don't pay attention to anything that happens around them.
Nope.
So she's walking on her phone, talking probably about things like having a career maybe, or like ambitions, or a crazy queer city life.
Mm-hmm.
It was cracking me up that they're acting like this is the biggest glamorous hotel. It's like maybe 100 square feet. It's like they're standing in a shoebox with a marble countertop attached to a fireplace. Like, oh, how glamorous. I'm standing by tapestries that match my jacket. You can find me, darling.
And they're using like a wide-angle lens, and you can just only imagine how tiny it is inside.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks real tiny. So,
Yeah, they're trying to find each other.
Who's Russ? Who the fuck is Ross?
I don't know, girl.
Can't even walk through the lobby without pushing people and twirling around and eventually bumping into Lindsay and spilling his coffee all over her. Oh, this is Cordova Street.
Yes.
I thought his name was Russ for a while.
So, Russ would have worked. Well, Russ would have been
like a Russ.
Maddie that does that all the time, just deciding someone's name is
high. I do too.
Typing and I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'll figure it out.
And we cover the Below Decks, and I mean, it's a new cast every season, and I'm like, Claudia.
When we were dealing with Talia and Tasha, oh my god.
Yeah, you guys
know. That was a disaster.
So
sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love.
It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the song Finch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Russ, Jake is poor, so Jake doesn't know how to walk like Lindsay. Like, Lindsay has a whole team, but Russ is poor, so he's like, oh my God, oh, sorry, bumped into you.
Also,
oh
too,
God.
He has no cup on his hot cocoa. Continuity. He gave him a hot cocoa with a lid on it. Now he doesn't have a
You're
lid.
Right. Also, I noticed that,
he
too.
Probably bartered the lid. You know,
well, he was poor. He did barter it out.
He cooked some beans in that lid.
It was weird. He was holding the cup, and you could tell that there was like a prop, just hot chocolate that wasn't liquid at all, that didn't move at all, just sitting in the cup.
It was like gel or something.
It was like gel or something. Yeah.
No,
like
it's just
that.
It's just how SpaceX makes cocoa. It's just a different
yeah, it's like astronaut ice cream.
It would Swiss be like musk. When I would watch Gilmore Girls, and I would get so annoyed when you could tell that Lorelai didn't have any coffee in that cup at all.
Oh, they just walked around.
They just flailing their arms everywhere. Pull it together.
So basically, he's like, he's on the phone with someone. I'm assuming maybe it's Alejandra. I don't know. He's like saying, yeah, he didn't go for it. He didn't go for my proposal or anything. And so he's walking with a cocoa. He's self-absorbed. She's self-absorbed. And guess what happens? They run right into each other.
Boom.
Coco gets all over her beautiful dress.
It is cute.
And Ted's
it
like,
is cute.
Not the bitty armor.
But he's not gay.
No.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, it's my Balenyagi. He's like,
not the Balenyagi.
Not the Balenyagi. I promise I love your pussy. And then they said, cut, cut. Lindsay, could you do that one more time? Tad, you're great. No notes. No notes. You're fine.
No notes, Tad.
You know what? Go bigger, Tad.
Go bigger.
Go bigger.
How do you say it? Balenyagi?
Do you know how to do wings? Yes or no? Just give me a yes or no.
5, 6, 7, 8.
This local yokel body slammed my girlfriend. Get out of my way. I am a heterosexual.
And Security's like, are you okay? And Tad goes, well, I'm quite fussed, but that's okay. I was like, oh, that was an okay line.
That was okay.
Fussed. It was okay. It was okay. And he has like,
I have to say, the character of Tad grew on me. He was kind of my favorite part of the movie.
I loved him. He was my favorite part of the movie.
Well,
the
actor was cute.
Stand him. I could not stand Tad.
I hated what they were doing because I knew that I should be offended to my core at what they were doing.
I wasn't.
I know I should be offended, but I am older. I'm from the generation where this is how I'm used to seeing myself represented.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I'm not the straightest person. I love musicals, Golden Girls, and I do a Bravo podcast. So I'm glad that I am being represented in a stereotypical way because I'm a stereotype.
It was gay minstrelsy. But yeah, I was totally fine with it.
I didn't mind.
Well, guess who does know how to do wings? Me.
I didn't mind the gay minstrelsy of it. What I just minded was just the bad comic choices he was making. I was like, that could've been so much funnier person playing Tad.
It was. Although there was no subtlety. Yeah.
I have to say, whoever came up with his press conference look, like that was a true highlight of the movie.
Where that was great.
They matted down his hair and put him in that like zip up thing that looked like a tie, but it wasn't a tie. I was like, this is actually an amazing moment here.
And with the little pin.
It looked like something from pin. Spice World. It looked like all of a sudden we're like futuristic space. Yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. I think we needed that, like that energy through a lot more of this movie.
Can I tell you guys, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I have to tell you the least Christmassy thing that's just happened right now. My betta fish, I got this little betta fish and it's sitting on my desk. He just went up to the snail that was on this log. He was like cleaning a log and he went like this to the snail. And knocked a fucking snail down.
Oh my God.
Fucking rude. And I had to get up and fix the snail.
Love it.
And the snail, when it's on its back, you should see their little bodies coming out. They're just, it looks like me trying, it looks like me if I was coming out of like a pothole in the street, you know, like in a robbery, in a heist movie, and I just move the pothole and I'm like coming up. It's like,
Ronnie, I feel like you're not being a ride or die to your betta fish right now, okay? Like, you are not showing up for that betta fish.
You're not showing up.
You chose the snail. You chose the snail over the betta fish right now.
I didn't spank it or anything. It's still in there. I just had to take my straw and move the snail.
You fucked half of New York.
Is the snail alive?
Oh, well, it didn't get murdered, for Christ's sake. We don't need to be that kind of parent. You know, like, I have to call the vet. Hold on.
You are not.
A snail has to learn how to turn itself over and climb back up.
I agree.
Not a ride or die.
Not a ride or die.
Not a ride or die.
No, I picked a pretty snail. I picked a pretty one. I picked a pretty one with like one of those long back heavy. They're always falling over. I'm like, of course I got the snotty ass.
Well, you're a size queen. You picked a size queen snail.
I want a turquoise. Because my fish is blue and yellow, and I knew turquoise would look really good.
You needed them to match, like an awful rich person.
Wait, you can't put an oversized snail in there and then expect your betta fish not to just try to knock it over.
Oh, my God, Ronnie. You are Tad. You are Tad.
You're like, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. Betta and snail, best friends forever.
Well, they're going to be together for the next, you know, couple weeks before they inevitably die because I've done something wrong, you know?
You've got more followers on Insta, so they're going to be perfect.
Ronnie, do you mind if we take their relationship public?
Let's take an LC. All right, sorry, I just had to tell you what
I appreciate that. That was enjoyable. That had more of a character arc than Lindsay Lohan.
More arc in this movie.
Speaking of which, Lindsay Lohan, she sits down at this teeny tiny hotel restaurant that is like designed from 1963.
It is.
And in the SpaceX hotel. And so she sits down and the waiter or waitress, whoever, the server, asks her if she wants any sort of bacon on her breakfast because clearly these people are not doing any research about the boss's daughter. And she's like, no, I'm not doing bacon because I am vegan. Only vegan for me. As if, and by the way, a place like this would have a vegan option for bacon. I'm going to say that right
would.
Now.
Yeah, they would.
They would.
It was a very obvious plot point. Yeah,
but that's like her only, and I don't want to harp on it too much. I mean, who's kidding? I'm going to harp on it the whole time. But the fact that it's not overboard and that this is her thing, like, this is her thing, bacon, because she has nothing else. Like,
that's
this
what makes her a bad person. She's
this is her
vegan.
Personality. She likes bacon. This is what needs to change about Lindsay Lohan. She doesn't eat bacon.
She doesn't eat bacon.
She doesn't know.
And also now, like, I mean, there's people like Tabitha Brown. Like, I don't think even... Even that joke is a 15-year-old joke.
No, that's what I'm saying. This script was written in the 80s.
It really is a
15-year-old joke.
Yeah.
I fucking love Tabitha Brown.
I fucking love Tabitha Brown. She's amazing. Her candles. That's what I mean. Like, vegans are mainstream now. Lord. And well liked.
Ben, have you watched her? She has a newish HGTV show, and she's vegan.
HGTV show.
And so they haven't been able to really sell the idea of a vegan show, obviously, because no one on Food Network's watching that, right? So she's like, they make it where it's a really difficult dinner party where you have really persnickety, picky guests who won't eat something. And so, like, one guest doesn't eat gluten, another guest doesn't eat celery, and then of course she's like, and I don't eat meat, so it's naturally a vegan show without saying. Anyway, it's hilarious because it's also such a modern show. It's like, okay, I want you to make something with no gluten, no dairy, no celery, no carrots, no onions, and no garlic.
And they're a barbecue. This person that's doing is a barbecue chef that's having to do it.
Wow.
It's not a great name. It's complicated. But
it's the worst name.
But I enjoy the show.
And everything. It's like, what are you going to eat? A paper towel? Like, that's what you're going to eat. And that's what they make. You know, they're like paper towels and toothpicks.
So she's making vegan food without advertising it as vegan food.
You know, because that's your business.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to pay attention now. It's very important.
No, it's fine. So basically, Tad and Lindsay Lohan and Jack Wagner are having breakfast. And you know, the dad hates Tad, understandably. And he's like, how's this internet business thing of yours going? He calls him Ted.
And Ted. So Lindsay's Tad.
And it's not a business thing. He's an influencer. Millions of people follow him. So he goes, oh, so basically you're a salesman. And then Tad is mimosa. Like, how dare he?
Why did that make him choke? He was
an influencer also, is a salesman.
But not only that, a real influencer would be so happy to be called a salesman.
Yes!
Influencers are constantly like, don't you realize this is a business, what I do? I am working just like everyone else. So if someone says, oh, you're basically running a business, they'd be like, thank you for understanding.
Thank you.
No, it's the person who wrote this dialogue still does not know what an influencer is.
No idea.
And Tad spits out his drink and he's like, well, I have to tell you, sir, in the coffee shop of life, Lindsay is a venti.
I was like,
she's tall? Well, I guess that would be a tall.
She's not tall.
The biggest size? I don't think you want to be saying that.
You don't want
to
say grande? Because that sounds bad.
Your daughter is 16 ounces,
the most caffeinated. it was very strange. It's a mixed metaphor, weird generational joke that never went anywhere.
Yeah,
like Starbucks. That. Tad would never say that.
We're used to Starbucks, guys. We've all got it.
And so Tad would not mention Starbucks. He would actually make a reference to something like Intelligentsia.
Yeah, or Blue Bottle or something.
Alfred, or Joe and the Juice, you know?
In the Nordstrom coffee shop of life, sir.
That is the most pretend. Jake, didn't you date a guy who worked at that Nordstrom coffee shop?
Yes. Oh my God. He was so proud of serving coffee though. He took it like his religion.
Oh yeah. I was a barista once in the Trump Tower, actually.
Shut
I was
up.
Like 20 something and we don't need this. But I was, and I was very proud of it. I'm like, I used to turn over my phone and be like, did I turn my phone over? Sorry. That could have spilled on you if I didn't know how to make foam. Am I right?
Well, I was actually a judge in the Southwest Regional Barista Competition here in Los Angeles. And it was a very serious competition.
It's very serious. They take it very seriously.
It's very serious. And they were nervous as fuck. And they'd be making these like lattes and trying to do their cappuccino art, and their hands would be shaking, and like both hands would be, so the cup would be shaking and the latte art. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. And I had never felt more powerful in my life.
You're like, idiot, get away from me.
You call this cappuccino art? You're fired. Get out of here.
You're poor.
Starbucks.
You fucking loser. So let's go over to the North Star. Jesus will give you a free room lodge.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
And the Poor lodge, People Hotel. Yeah. And I'm Which still is calling actually, him Russell. I just said
the
Russell.
Poor people Russell, the Poor People Hotel is really fucking nice, just so we know.
It's very Hallmark. Well, it's very Hallmark channel. Yeah.
It's got terracotta tiles, and I'm like, it's fucking cold here, right? So why would you have terracotta tiles?
It does look very floors. It is very Spanish design, but I'm...
This is fucking Santa Barbara? What are you
this
doing?
This is nicer than that.
This is not a Club Med. No, I'm sorry. You saw the linens... The wretched linens on every single bed.
Everything's late 80s, early 90s. Yeah.
They're like, why doesn't anyone come here? I'm like, well, throughout your Land's End catalog and go to Macy's for crying out loud.
You haven't updated in 25 years.
I grew up in Oklahoma, and this looks way nicer than that lodge we went to in Wakota. So I guess I'm comparing it to that.
Wow.
You guys should probably stop taking an image of a bed bug off of your ads, North Star. Come here, you'll get bed bugs and freeze to death.
But you're right. Business turns out at the North Star is bad. Business is not going. Like you said, why would you go to a place like that nice resort when you can go to the North Star?
I know. Why would you go to a place with updated amenities and hot tubs embedded into your deck when you can go to this place with terracotta tiling and red plaid flannel bed sheets?
Ugh, awful.
Okay, but then guess what we get? Santa is finally here because we get an actual fucking hot guy. Oh my God. No one else? Wait, wasn't this where he's with his friend? I wrote snowmobile and I thought.
Oh, his friend. The guy was
the guy who couldn't make the snowmobile work.
Yeah.
I was like, who needs it? Jump on. I'll give you a ride, honey. Come on.
He was cute, his one scene, that guy.
He did have one scene with no words.
That's just how I like him. He said, I can have a lifetime of no words with me.
He was working on the snow machine, and just when he said, "This it's not working, yeah, I'll try to get it started," I went, oh, you're broke. Someone must have died.
Yep.
That's literally what I wrote.
And I have to say, I have to give this movie huge props, because then Jake goes in and his daughter's there. And she's like, daddy, daddy, daddy. And she says, dad, look, there's a Christmas tree. Remember when mom would take us every year?
Like, yeah. Oh,
dead mom. But I was like, you know what? I'm proud of this movie. Because last year we watched that Pioneer Lady Christmas movie, and they were so clunky. Do you remember
when the lady
knocked on the door and said, oh, hi, are your parents here? And she goes, no, they died in a car accident when I was 8.
And it's trying to be funny, but it's not really funny. It's just really sloppy.
Yeah.
This is a step forward in terms of subtlety. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really trying to get it all over. First of all, did they put springs in this girl's hair? Because she is the cutest little girl with the bounciest little hair. She literally comes over and her hair's like, boing, boing, boing.
She's very curly, Sue.
She's
a little too smiley, though. Normal children, maybe I'm just used to L.A. where kids aren't happy, but children are normally not this happy and smiley all the time. Well,
I mean, look at her grandmother. Her grandmother is
literally
on, I don't know what drug she's on, because the grandmother comes over and she goes, oh, now it's grandma's job to do the Christmas tree. Yes. Every single thing.
She's on like Lexapro Pro.
The long-suffering abuela who's just so, she's seen so much, she can't really be happy.
but she can't afford to be sad. I'm so glad that they told us it was the grandma, because I never would have guessed. What are you fucking kidding? It's like the grandma-iest grandma I've ever seen in my life.
She's wearing a shawl most of the movie.
That usually always have sequins. Even in the day, she has something with sequins in it. And I went, that's what my Aunt Darla does. That's a grandma thing.
She's got sequins, but also like knee-high, you know, like pantyhose.
Yes. Yes.
Like Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And basically, I think she was given the note that said, honey, we're going to need you to play this one note. Okay. We see you trying to bring some substance to this character. We're just going to need you to smile and be enthusiastic about everything. Okay.
You've suffered your whole life.
You're always just somewhat nice, not really nice. Even later on in the thing, when you say, I'm feeling a little blue, which is something no one ever says anymore for the last 30 years, you're still going to be nice about that.
Yeah. Hey,
so listen, here's my note for you, lady. So the North Star Lodge has been in your family for 3 generations, a proud, amazing success story about immigrants, Latino immigrants who came to this place and created a lodge. And now, for some reason, a white guy runs it and is going to ruin it. So take that pain and don't address it.
You're the only person who truly understands pain. Okay? Yeah.
No one else gets it. You miss your daughter every day.
You've got a son-in-law named Cord.
Your daughter and your family legacy has all been destroyed by this man. So be really nice to him.
Because you're in financial ruin because he's made terrible choices, like really giving has. All his money away.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Just remember, it's all in the white
says
man's hands.
He gives tons and tons of charity to people.
Yeah, he's
and
a terrible businessman.
Gives money. He's a bad businessman. We shouldn't reward that.
He's literally never even heard the concept of a fundraiser. Come on.
No.
No.
And he is typical idiot guy. He's like, hey, grandma, could you put in a good word with Santa for me? I need all the help I can get. We need a miracle. You need some bug spray and some sheets that are over 300 count.
You need a financial planner.
Yes.
Yes. Good God. Age-shaming. Stop age-shaming Alejandra. Be like, hey, can you put in a word with Santa? How old do you think she is?
One of those kids that come with a drone and do like those real estate videos.
You knew Caesar, right? Could you have him send over some pizzas? I am starving.
Starving.
It's called an area rug. It's just put it right there in your lobby.
Right there.
Are we to the point now where he's in his office and
First the kids goes, bounce hair. Adorable desk. She's like, haven't you heard, Dad? Christmas is the perfect time for miracles.
Oh yeah.
It's also time for school. Why aren't you in school?
Yeah,
get to school. They didn't break yet.
It's not Christmas break.
If we're not on break, you're not on break.
It's December 19th. Get back to school. We know you're in public school.
Lazy ass.
She's definitely in public school.
And you're definitely not being homeschooled.
No.
Oh, well, I can't do it.
You know she had the hardest time during COVID because fucking Court ain't doing anything with the homeschooling.
No, it's all
grandma. You know, she's just like,
practicing his scene, stalling that.
My nerves are just frayed.
She's just like, in the North Star Lodge, we don't believe in masks.
So Jake's in Jake's office.
Now we're she's in Jake's office. And he kind of sits down, and we have the most awkward introduction of like a special totem that we've ever had. He opens your desk drawer where you normally keep rubber bands and your pen set.
I know.
And there is this, I thought it was a doll. No, it's an angel tree topper.
It looked like a dead pigeon.
Yeah.
Girl, you can't keep a tree topper in your drawer. Have you ever seen a tree topper? It's like the most squished, sad, abused tree topper I've ever seen.
You pack it up way, way deep in the attic so you don't have to see it again.
Yeah,
for another 12 months.
I guess this is where the budget ran out. This is we were going to get include a storage system in this office.
This is also not a real tree topper. We went in a very lengthy discussion. No, I spent I'm just going to say this. This is a PSK. Tree toppers fucking suck now. You try to look for a tree topper for a Christmas tree, and they're terrible. I wish
you tried to find a male angel this year.
Yeah, I wanted a male angel. I wanted a gay male angel.
No.
They didn't have – I think I'm going to make a tree topping company called Tree Toppers from a Big Bottom. And then I'm just going to sell these tree toppers.
You should make like tops for the trees and just make them like those old 70s paintings of the big muscular guys with leather and like the big old wiener line.
Yes, I don't want one of those gay merman tree toppers. I don't like water. So I'm from a landlocked state. Anyway, I just want to say this was a way ornate involved tree topper, and they all look like fucking mass produced bullshit. This took me out of the movie with the just non-realism.
Well, yeah. I was glad not to see a real tree topper. Our tree toppers were fucking terrifying. My mom always
looked like gargoyles.
For the first few years, I would look in my Christmas gifts, like open them a little and then retape them and stuff. And then I was just terrified because I was convinced the tree topper was just like
looking at you. Yeah,
the angel of judgment.
Yes, they just had these terrifying, and they looked okay from far away, but look, being right down and looking up, and it's just like, you're fat, you stupid fat little fuck, I'm going to murder you in your sleep.
Later.
I feel like really left out that tree toppers. I'm very sad about this.
Well, guess what? I've always been jealous of multiple candles yeah. in the window. My mother would never let me do it. She's like, you're going to hurt the window.
Later, when you had your first sexual experience, you still imagined that tree topper looking at you disapprovingly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess what? That's why he keeps it in the desk. And then I'll tell you what's not in the desk. I'll tell you what's not on the desk. His proposal, which he now throws in the trash. Well, how about this, sir? How about next time, since you're so low on money, how about you don't like spend the $25 at Kinko's and send it via email? Do you have, I mean, what is happening here?
And stop giving it away to poorer people. That is against rich dad, poor dad.
But he is professional, and we know because it's in a manila envelope. And that's a very, very professional sign.
But so I got confused in the movie because I thought, okay, so he's got a dead wife. He's got a weird tree topper. Lindsay's life is perfect. Nothing bad must have happened to Lindsay Lohan, right?
Oh, no, you're wrong. There's something that they could theoretically bond about, but they don't.
So, but they don't! This was the biggest. It just took my breath away.
This made me so angry.
This took my breath away. That how this like snow globe never got, we never made this connection.
Not only does the snow globe not make a connection, it also fails to jog her memory really about anything. Yes! That's close.
That's the whole point.
Literally, like if you want to talk about a MacGuffin, so this thing, so
they had to cut it all because every time she picked it up, she was trying to put it up her nose. They're like, Lindsay, put down the snow globe. She's trying to cut it with some
what
razor.
So
we used to do this with MX.
Fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.